You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Today, get your notebooks out. Get your note-taking devices ready, because I am assuming that you came to church wanting not only to experience the Word of God, but to remember it all week and see change and result in your life. Am I right? If that's true, get your note-taking devices ready. If your note-taking device is your phone, but you know that the notifications on your phone are going to disrupt you, then turn it off and steal someone else's notes at the end of the service, okay? Write this down up the top. If you're ready, write it down in big letters. 5 steps to freedom. And then underneath that, write 5 steps to margin. Because we've talked a lot about margin and freedom and breaking bad habits in our lives. Today, I want to give you just 5 key steps that you'll find over and over and over again in the Word of God to help you find freedom and margin in your life. Amen. We're not just talking about the things you've got to do. We've spent time talking about some of the habits we want to break in our lives. We've spent time talking about some of the things we want to add into our lives. We've spent time talking about seeking God and finding out what needs to change in our lives. But today I want to talk to you about 5 steps you'll find in the Word of God that'll help you actually do the things that you've talked about or decided need to change in your life. Does that sound good? So let's do that today. But let me pray again. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would come upon every person in this church, that we would not sit here and just hear your word, but we would hear it and do it, Lord God, that you would help us to find and understand the keys, that the things that we can do in our lives to bring about great and lasting spiritual change in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at Moses. Have you heard of Moses? We're going to look at Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. We're going to look at Moses and Jethro for 5 steps to freedom and margin in your life. Now, I want to set this up for you first. Moses is the guy that went to Pharaoh and sang that song. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, baby, let my people go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You remember the song? Moses wrote that song. All right. Moses is the guy that went to Pharaoh and said, baby, let my people go, or it's going to go bad in your life. All right. So Pharaoh says no. Pharaoh says yes. Pharaoh says no. Pharaoh's confused. Pharaoh ends up having frogs all over the land. Remember the frog sermon, right? There's frogs everywhere. There's frogs in his underwear. There's frogs in his bed. There's frogs in the oven. You can't walk without squashing not just a frog, but a bunch of frogs. You're about 2 inches deep in frogs. It's disgusting. And Moses is the guy that goes to Pharaoh and says, hey, Pharaoh, God told me to tell you, I can help with this problem. When do you want me to fix your problem? And Pharaoh's like, cool, I'm glad that God is asking me when I want this problem fixed. And I kind of like being knee-deep in frogs. I like the feel of the guts between my toes. So we'll deal with it tomorrow. Give me one more night with the frogs. That was Pharaoh and that was Moses, all right? This same guy, Moses, ends up convincing Pharaoh to let them go. He lets them go because of the power of God, right? And then Pharaoh changes his mind, chases after the Israelites and chases after Moses and all the people. They get to a river. Moses is like, oh my gosh, there's a river and there's an army behind us. The people are grumbling. The people are mad. Moses, did you bring us here to die, you son of a gun? Why did you do that? We would have been happier in Egypt, all right? And Moses takes his staff. He whacks the water at parts. They walk through. The water comes back together and drowns everyone that was chasing the Israelites. This is the story of Moses, all right? So this guy, people have seen God do spectacular things through this man's life, all right? Now this man is hanging out with the Israelites some time later, and the people have problems, right? Because, you know, when you live with people, you have problems, don't you, right? Anyone married in here? You have problems, right? There needs to be ways to sort out the disagreements, right? If you have neighbors, you might have problems, right? In my case this week, somebody decided it'd be a great idea to kill a crow and leave it at the bottom of my driveway. I'm blaming the neighbors, all right? It probably wasn't them, but I'm blaming them anyway, right? You have problems with people that you get around all the time. So they'd come to Moses, who naturally was the man of God, and so naturally the man who could have the wisdom to solve their problems. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all day, morning, noon, and night, are coming to Moses to solve their problems. And then his father-in-law comes to town and sees how Moses is solving everybody's problems. We'll pick it up in Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. When you've got it, say, I got it, and I'll give you a moment. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 to 27. You can write that down. Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 to 27. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses. This is just after his father-in-law had come to town. The next day he sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law Jethro saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is it that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the ways in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, though, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, men who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, as chiefs of hundreds, chiefs of fifties, and chiefs of tens. Let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide for themselves. It will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure. And all this people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all he had said. He chose able men from all of Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and they judged the people at all times. Any hard cases they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart and went away to his own country. We've talked about areas in our lives and bad habits that we'd love to break, haven't we? And we want to live a better life, don't we? Can I get an amen? We've talked about needing margin in our lives. Who knows? Moses needed to find some margin in his life. Something needed to change. Moses was going to wear himself out. Moses was going to die. Moses was going to have a breakdown. We've talked about how you and I need this too. So today I want to give you 5 steps to implementing those decisions in your life, all right? If there's something that's a bad habit in your life that needs to be broken, or if there's an area of your life that you need to find margin, I want to give you 5 steps from the story of Moses and his father-in-law Jethro that will help you begin to see change and freedom in your life. Who wants to know what they are? Good. Who else wants to know what they are? Fantastic. Number one, looking at the story of Moses and Jethro, obviously, it is very obvious, I know, but we need to identify the what. So you can write that down. Identify the what. It's not great English, but you'll understand it, all right? Identify the what. While we're looking at all the ways that we can create breathing room in our lives, perhaps for some of us who it's not so obvious for, it might be time to sit down before your Father in heaven and say, hey, God, what needs to change in my life? What in my life is not only unbeneficial, but is drawing me away from you and the life that you created for me? Heavenly Father, I want freedom and margin, all right? So write down, identify the what, but you need to sometimes go to God. See, we identify the what in this story. Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning to evening? You will wear yourself out. So for some of you, that's what the what is. It's really obvious. There's a problem with my time management skills. Some of us, it's really obvious. I need to get more healthy in the things I eat or in my exercise life. Or maybe it's really obvious that I need to find a better way to pay my bills on time, right? Some things are obvious, but sometimes you get to these wonderful points in life where everything's working really well. Have you ever been there? I've been there sometimes. I love that. It's like, wow, I'm amazing. And then you have to remember that, no, God did this for me. Amen. One of the worst mistakes we make as believers, we come to church broken and 3 years later we leave healed and say, look what I did. When God did something, you didn't. Amen. But sometimes in those zones, what we really need to do is just simply stand before the Father and say, God, what's next? I want to tell you, there's always something next. He'll either want to make you more generous, more kind, more forgiving. There's always something that's next. Break some habit. God has always got another wonderful step for you to take in your life. And sometimes we need to hear from God about what those things are. See, you might not know that bitterness or gossip are becoming a problem in your life. You might not, right? You might be like, my bills are good, everything's good, my wife and I get along really well. You know, we have these wonderful sessions every night where we just talk about everybody and you know, how much everybody annoys us, and we get along really well. And maybe you need the Holy Spirit to come in and say, maybe there's another way y'all can get along, do something else. Sometimes things are obvious, like looking at porn all night is taking me away from God's time, sleep time, husband and wife time. Some things are obvious, right? So some things are obvious and some things aren't. But there's always something that God wants to do in our lives. It's time to go to the Lord and ask Him, what needs to change? God, I want to be better. Please help me be better. God, what's next in my life? I don't know whether you've discovered that you need to break something in your life or you need to add something. Maybe you need to add fun, golf, rest, work, volunteering, tithing, giving to kingdom expansion, helping. Maybe you actually need to start better looking after your home better. Maybe you need to be a better neighbor and mow your lawns every now and again. Some neighbors say amen. If you've got a neighbor, say amen. Right? Come on, maybe you need to be a better neighbor. Maybe you need to start spending more time with your children. Maybe you need to spend more time in prayer with the Lord or worshiping Him some more. I don't know what they are. You might not even know what they are, but you need to spend some time with God this week and say, Heavenly Father, loving God, what needs to change in my life? If there's obvious things in your life, it's time to get healthy. It's time to get better organized. Whatever those things are, these next four steps will help you too. Start by getting down before the Lord in prayer and then writing down what needs to change. He's got a pen in their life. Hands up if you have a pen in your life. Good. Write down the thing that needs to change. We're going to start selling journals, and I guess it's going to be next week or the week after if Christy says we don't have enough. But over the next couple of weeks, we're going to start selling the journals, all right? You need to write things down. The reason we give you journals is things need to be written down. Did you know that your mind remembers things that you write down more than things you type out? Did you know that? That's why we've gone a wee bit old school and start giving out pens and notebooks here, okay? So write down the what. Second thing, you need to identify the why. Someone say why. Don't just leave it at what. You need a why, right? You never want to forget why you did it. When the Bible says if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, there's something you won't forget about why, right? If I cut my hand off, I'm always going to remember why I did that. Can I get an amen? Now, this is using a very hyperbole example, indicating that we should be willing to do whatever it takes to remove sin from our lives, right? Now, don't anyone go cutting your hands off. Talk to me, I'll give you a much better idea. But the Word of God is showing us that we should be willing to do what it takes to remove sin from our lives. But we don't ever want to forget why and then end up back where we once were again, right? Kind of like the person who comes to church, God changes their lives, and a few years later, they go back and start doing what they used to do, thinking they created the freedom. You don't want to forget why you do what you do. You've got to identify the why and write it down. In most cases, in Moses' case, the why was, you're about to get worn out and have a breakdown, son. A friend of mine who used to be an alcoholic, he told me a very powerful thing that he did to help him never go back to where he once was again. He cut alcohol out of his life entirely because he was having a rough go of it. And he wrote himself a note about why. So if he ever feels like he wants to have a drink again, or casually at a party is offered a sip of some expensive or exciting drink, he can read his note. He always carried a photo of it in his phone. And the note said this: I don't drink alcohol because when I did, I used to hit my wife. Want to forget that, right? I don't drink alcohol because when I did, I used to hit my wife. I used to yell at my friends. I used to skip church. I used to act violent. I used to lie to cover my tracks. I used to forget to pay my bills. I used to arrive late and leave early. I used to hurt so deep inside that I wanted to die. That's why I should never touch that evil stuff again. That's the note he wrote to himself, right? That's the note that my friend wrote to himself to remind himself why I can't do that anymore. Hey, you might be able to do that, but stop trying to convince me, because this is why I can't do that, all right? It might work for you, but this is why I can't do that. You've got to identify the why. You've got to write down why. So identify the what, write it down. And then write down why this thing needs to change in your life so that you don't ever go back to how you were before. Amen? The second one is identify the who. The third one, actually, because I can count. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. I find it sad that when Scripture says confess your sins to one another that you may be healed, we too often think of the Catholic confessional, and so as Protestants, we think that there's no value in this scripture. Church, there is. There is value in this scripture. I'm reminded of a joke about a man who kneels down in the confessional and he says to the Father, Father, bless me, for I have sinned. For I have sinned. What is it, sir? Father, I have committed the sin of vanity. Twice a day I gaze at myself in the mirror and tell myself how handsome I am. And the priest turns, takes a look at the man and says, my son, I have good news. It's not a sin. It's simply a mistake. I'm sorry. Sometimes the truth comes out when we go to a friend for help. Amen. Sometimes you go and talk to a friend and the truth just gets laid on you real hard and fast, doesn't it, right? I want to tell you, you do need a friend. Amen. See, as Protestants, we don't believe in going to the confessional for forgiveness because I have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, amen? And so I can just say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned, amen? I can say, Father, forgive me for the sins I remember, those I say and those I've forgotten and haven't said. Father, forgive me for all my sin, amen? I can do that. I don't need a confessional. But sometimes we forget and misunderstand the value of actually having a friend. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. You need people in your life to help bring healing and wholeness. Who do you need to come alongside you? See, you've identified what needs to change. You've written down why this thing has to change in your life. Now you need to identify the who. Now, who is the person that you need to come and bring alongside you to help you figure out how and when and why and what you're doing? Who's the who? See, Moses, who was Jethro? Who do you have? A powerful healing process begins when we stop isolating ourselves and begin to pursue health through godly relationships. I want to tell you, though, who is not just the guy you drink with at the bar. Hey, buddy, help me. I'm an alcoholic. Well, he's not the guy. Can I just tell you that right now? You need to pursue health through godly relationships. There's opportunities for every one of you to join a Connect group. Make an appointment with one of the pastors here. I can tell you this, and they know this, so I'm not like freaking them out right now. If you want to have a coffee or a lunch with one of the pastors here and they say no, and you tell me they said no, they're in trouble. But that won't happen because they know and they have the same heart I have. And that is to see you find health and wholeness through godly relationships. Amen. It won't happen in this church. And like they said, the first Tuesday of every month is called Power Lunch. You can come and get a dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can come and eat lunch with some godly people, not just the godly staff members, but any other person in the church that'll come. Right here, 12 o'clock, bring your own lunch upstairs the first Tuesday of every month, all right? You can do that. You can join a Connect group. You can make an appointment with somebody here. You can go speak to someone in church that you look up to that's not paid as a church pastor. They could help too. You know, did you know you don't have to be a paid minister of the gospel to have the power of God in your life? You know, someone else could just as well come and sit beside you as well. So go say to them, hey, can I buy you brekkie this week? I need to talk to you about some stuff in my life. Don't ask the 17 times bankrupt guy living under a bridge how to run a successful business. Don't do that. It's not going to work out. I'm telling you now. I was sitting on a plane once and I heard the guy and the young lady behind me having a conversation. See, she was upset, sad, and even a little bit teary, I noticed as she walked on. And so the gentleman, being honestly kind and with good motives, asks her if she's okay. She begins to share how she was recently married, I think it was just a few weeks earlier. And as she left for the airport that day, her husband and her had a really big argument, and she'd never experienced something like that, and it was freaking her out. She was worried if he'd be there and whatever else. And so this man who sat with her begins to tell her that she sat next to the right man for a day like that. That it just so happens it's her lucky day because he has tons of marriage experience. See, he's been divorced 9 times. This is the story. He'd been divorced 9 times. He's on his 10th now, and he's approximately 3 months into the 10th. And he said, with all seriousness, and let me pause. If you've been divorced and broken, hey, it's okay. I'm not judging you, all right? But don't 3 months into your next marriage give advice to everybody else about how to do their marriage. Can I get an amen? Now, I do believe that you will and absolutely find wholeness, healing, and satisfaction in your life. That God will bless you. I'll believe that for you. But it's still your time to go to others and find help. Amen? So he starts to tell her, trust me, you sat next to the right man. I have had more experience with marriage than anyone I know. And I'm sitting there thinking, you really do? And as we got off the plane, I made sure to grab the young lady's arm and I let her know of a great church in her city and how I believe that they will help her and her husband. And I recommended she throw away the other gentleman's business card and go to healthy people to get help. Can I get an amen? Am I right or am I right? Or if you don't think I'm right, I am. See, anyone can get a second chance, and I don't want you to feel hurt or abused if some of that might be your story. I thank God that you're in this place where you can absolutely be encouraged to seek God and believe God for more and better and health and healing and wholeness. Amen. And you will have it. You better believe it. But right now, if that's still your story and you're 3 months in, it's time to say, hey, I just need a bit of, I need to be the guy who writes down what I need and go get somebody. Amen. You just want to see a little bit of fruit before getting their advice. Yeah. You do need a friend though, church. You really do need a friend. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Now, it's funny how the Ecclesiastes writer says that two are better than one because a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You'd think you didn't pass third grade math or something, wouldn't you? Because in my understanding of mathematics, two is not a cord of three strands. But I want to tell you why the scripture says this, and what it's wonderfully pointing out is that you plus a friend plus the Holy Spirit equals victory every time. You need a friend who will hold your hands up, not pull your arms down. Amen. You need to identify the who, because you, your friend, and the Holy Spirit equals victory every single time in your life. Praise God. Identify the who. You need them. Don't think you can do it without them. You're wrong. You need somebody in your life so that you, the Holy Spirit, and they can overcome in Jesus' name. The fourth, because I can do third grade math, the fourth one is identify the how. Once you identify the who, it's who's going to help me, encourage me, be with me, then we need to identify the how. Can I have the band come back up? How, one of the hows is going to be worship, amen? One of the hows is going to be get your butt in the church seat every week, be encouraged, be inspired, be uplifted, spend time with God no matter what. You know what? If you're not spending time with God in your own time, praying, worshiping, reading the Word all week, I recommend that. But if you're not, at least on Sunday, you've got a reset moment that you have time in the presence of God, the Word of God, and the people of God, amen? So get your butt to church. That's going to be a part of the how. Spend time in worship. We are so blessed to have a team of worshipers, not a team of musicians, but a team of worshipers, amen, that lead us into just an anointed worship experience. But you need to talk with your who about your how. How are we going to do this? When you have God and good counsel, you'll always be able to come up with the how. Can you stand up with me, church? We're almost done. Did you hear that? When you have God and good counsel, you'll always be able to come up with the plan. Jethro took no time at all to see a godly, Holy Spirit-inspired answer. He said, look for able men from all people, men who fear God and who are trustworthy, men who hate bribery, and place those men over the people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They say a problem shared is a problem halved. I've actually found that to be true in my life. Just that moment, as soon as I identify the who and then talk to them about the what, I have always immediately felt like that problem just halved. There's now two people carrying this burden. I'm not on my own anymore. Just sharing with someone, it halves the weight on your mind and even your body. It's not just you trying to fix this anymore. See, you may have made some really stupid decisions. And I don't say that to be mean to you. I say that because that's probably how you feel, how you think. Please don't let the shame stop you from asking for help. Please don't do that. You may be ashamed, but a good Jethro is going to hug you and embrace you and love you no matter what. A good Jethro is not going to laugh at you. I'm saying this so that if you're a Jethro in here, that if someone comes to you, that you know how to respond. Not going to laugh at you, not going to shun you, not going to hurt you, not going to say, well, I could have told you not to do that. I'm like, yeah, well, it didn't, so let's just deal with this, right? A good Jethro is going to embrace you, hug you, buy you lunch, fight over paying the bill with you, pray with you, encourage you to be in church, and they are going to use their unclouded mind that's not clouded by the weight of the situation to help you come up with a how are we going to fix this. I want to tell you right now, don't stress about the how. As soon as you come up with the how will take care of itself. Right? Now, ask for a how, but don't be stressed about it. Didn't hear? Stop stressing about how. Deal with who is going to help me. Amen? Because when you get the how is just around the corner. The last one is identify the when. I heard it said that if good things come to those who wait, then procrastination is indeed a virtuous gift. It's not true. Good things do come to those who wait upon the Lord. Amen. You need to get busy and get it done. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. If God spoke to you today, then you need to speak to your who today. All right? We may not be able to figure out the how this second, but if God has spoken to you today about the what, or you already know what the what is, I want to tell you the right time to talk to your who is today. If your who is in this room, which for most of you it probably will be, if your who's in this room, then what you're going to do is before church is done, you're going to grab them and say, yo, breakfast, Wednesday morning, 6 a.m., all right? You, me, I'll buy. That's what you're going to do. You're probably going to say machine shed because it's awesome, right? It's just what you're going to do. Hey, if your spouse leaves home early, you're going to say to your spouse, hey, I really need you to understand that I need a who in my life. So please, one of the days this week, can you just change your schedule and let me go early this week? Your spouse will work with you. They'll work with you. Wives don't have to. If you're a stay-home mom, you don't have to be the one that can never have a breakfast appointment. Good husbands are going to try and find a way to make sure that you can go out for breakfast and they can stay home a little later. Amen? Just throw that out there. You need to get it done. You need to finish your conversation and talk about when. Amen?
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.